Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's not very often that I preach a message that deals with a problem that surfaced during the week, but I don't know, in 30 years I have probably done that one time, and not very often that I bring a message that has been prompted by a conversation I've had with somebody in the church during the week. But that does happen. I don't know, maybe 12 times a year, somebody will say something to me that'll prompt a thought, and I'll say, I need to bring a message on that. And so this morning is one of those messages. The conversation was spiritual. The person just reached out to me. I think it was Monday. It might have been Sunday night after church. And this is what they said: "Pastor, how can I pray for you?" And I'll just say, I'm always blessed to know that somebody is praying for me. It's very humbling. You go to the hospital or go to a nursing home. I remember going to see Brother Murray in the old folks' home over in Centerville, Maryland. It takes about an hour or so to get there from here, and I would drive over there and see him and pray with him, and he would always stop and pray for me. And it's just humbling to hear. Now, he's in his old soldier's home. He was not doing well. He was not getting out of bed anymore, but he was still a man of prayer and would stop and pray for me. Sunday morning in Sunday school, I hope you do, and you should. The auditorium class taught by Tom Oldenburg, and downstairs there's an adult class taught by Greg Parsons. And Greg Parsons at the end, that's the class that I'm in. I don't want you to think I'm skipping Sunday school. I'm downstairs, and at the end of the Sunday school hour, Greg Parsons always prays for me. And it's just humbling to hear that. And so I responded to the man that said, I want to pray for you. How can I pray for you? And I said, well, pray that God would give me Bible wisdom. Now, that's important for a preacher to have, wisdom from God's Word, and a divine direction from God's Word. That's important. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Psalm tells us, and we should look to God's Word for wisdom. And then I said this: to stay true and strong in resisting demonic spirits. The forces of evil, the Bible tells us, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, right? We know that passage. What is that talking about? There are demonic forces out there that would need to be resisted and fought. And this was what his response to me was: whoa! There are demonic spirits that we need to be fighting. And I thought, boy, that is something that we need to talk about. If we're asking, are there really demonic spirits out there? And so I thought about this passage of Scripture, because we have a tendency to think that as a people that we fight things or battle things that the pastor doesn't battle. And so I thought of this passage of Scripture as a result. When somebody comes to me for help, the first passage of Scripture I take them to is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Look at that verse with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So I thought about that passage. And then I thought about this passage of Scripture: the importance to take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. And so immediately I got my pen out and I said, I need to do this on Sunday morning. So I put it in my sermon list and I said, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And then I wrote underneath that, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. Well, where do you think that verse is found? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I actually had to look that one up. And I was amazed, I shouldn't have been, that it was the very verse preceding 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And then I thought, well, you know what? We should look at the context. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We know that there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. And we know that we should take heed while we stand, lest we fall. But what is the context of that? Let's look at verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Baptism, speaking of identification. At baptism, we identify with Christ. And they were following the cloud. They were in the, they identified with Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, manna and quail, notwithstanding. Now, verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. It's interesting. And that rock was Christ. And that kind of jumped out at me. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Well, that's not good. That's not good. Well, why is that? So they're all in the same place. They're all in the same church, if you will. They're all in the same congregation. They're all on the same journey. They've all left the same place. But some of them God was pleased with, and some of them God was not pleased with. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 20,000 and 3,000. That was a bad day. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then comes verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And then comes verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Title of the message this morning is this, take heed lest ye fall. Take heed lest ye fall. And let's pray. Father, I pray that this message this morning on this day would be an encouragement to those who have gathered, that we would understand that the temptations, the fears, the concerns, the worries that we have are common to man, that we would understand that when we are under demonic oppression, that is common to man, when we are prone to murmur and complain, that is common to man, but that you are faithful to us and you will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And help us to take that admonition, to take heed while we stand, lest we fall. And we'll thank you for what you do today in this service as we look to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This morning, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This evening, we're in Galatians. And Galatians talks about falling from grace. It's just kind of interesting that these two topics are falling on the same day. When we look at that and we think that's a loss of salvation. That is not a loss of salvation. Salvation is eternal. Salvation is everlasting. But along the way of life, even though that you have received the gift of God, which is eternal life, and I'll just stop to say, if you have not received the gift of God, which is eternal life, you should, and you can, and that gift is available through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he offers that to anyone who will receive it. This passage, 1 Corinthians 10, talks about the exodus of Egypt, and God's marvelous display of power. They were released from the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, and they traveled through the wilderness, and God provided for them right from the very beginning. He gave them a pillar of fire to lead them by night and to assure them of his presence, the pillar of cloud to lead them by day and to protect them. You figure they're in the wilderness, and that's heat is a problem. And you can't find shade, but God's word is, and God's help and God's presence will is a shade to us. They passed through the Red Sea. An amazing, again, display of God's power. I don't know if you've walked on water recently. Walked through water. Well, yeah, I walked through water, preacher. I forded a creek or went to the ocean and walked out in the waves. Did they part for you? Preacher, water doesn't part. This water did. And they walked through on dry ground. And it's really, really quite amazing. And to see that display of power, to walk through and to go, whoa, I'm in the middle. The water is piled up on either side. I don't know if it, I would think, I mean, it's water. So you're down below, kind of like if you were in a, a glass enclosed bubble, and down below the waters, the surface of the water, and you can look out there and you can see fish swimming around. I would think that you would see swish swimming around, fish swimming around, and you, I go, whoa! I mean, that'd be cool. And God did that for the children of Israel. They saw that marvelous display of God's power. Have you seen God's power in your own life? I mean, we have seen the works of darkness, but have you seen God working in your life? I also like the phrase in verse 4, the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. It's interesting. We know that water came from the rock. There are some writers that believe and wrote that the rock that gave them water, the rock followed them. That it wasn't different rocks, it was the same rock. Now imagine getting up in the morning and the rock is there. And I'm thinking, really? The rock followed them? Let's say the rock. The water came from the rock. Well, we know who is the rock. The rock is Christ. And 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that. That rock was Jesus Christ. So have you seen God move great things in your life recently? Seen him part the water for you? Move something that was unmovable on your behalf? You say, preacher, I haven't seen God part water. That it's 2024, preacher. Not B.C., we're A.D., and things like that don't happen anymore. God doesn't do those things. I'll just tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should be looking for God to do great things in our life. I'm amazed. When you look for that, you'll see that. God will bring across your path people, circumstances, events that can only be explained as divine. Someone reached out to me today, this week, and I bumped into them at a place, and I said, you had a need, and you were hoping to see a preacher, and God put me here at this point, at this time, today, to see you, to pray for you. I could have been anywhere else. If one light had messed up and had stopped me, I would not be standing here right at this moment, but God put me there at that moment. Here's the problem. We dismiss God and God's power. And we just say, well, that's coincidence. It is not coincidence. You're there on purpose. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Sunday school, we get to drink from the spiritual rock, which is Christ. And we open up God's Word and we read it. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. What is that? That is water from the rock. And you should be getting water every day. And the rock is the same. The rock is Christ. The water is God's Word. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 and 22 is a passage that is referenced. And I'm going to turn there and read those two verses. First, Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And God gives you the water of His Word. Again, we've quoted, I quoted from Psalms, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And where is it? It's there in the daytime. And where is it? It's there in the nighttime. I got up at 1:40 this morning, and I was looking for Mrs. Bishop. She wasn't there. Oh, where was she? Well, I looked downstairs, and she wasn't there. And so I went down to the basement level, and she wasn't there. And I looked in the kitchen, and she wasn't there. Well, where did she? Where was she? She was right there in bed, and I just didn't see it. Just didn't see it. God, where's God? He's right there. Right where He needs to be. He's not the one that's missing. He's not the one that's moved. When you just need to look to Him, the water. It moved for them to give them safety. God will move His Word for you to give you safety from His Word. We have just become accustomed to it. God took that same water and He moved it back upon the people of Egypt, the armies of Egypt, and they were destroyed. So to us, God's Word is a force of protection. But to the unsaved, God's Word can be condemning. Talked to one of our county officials about building program, our permit, and I said, "Hey, I'm come to you as Moses came to the people in Egypt. Let my people build." And the guy said, "Hey, that's so you're Moses." I said, "Yeah, well, okay, yeah, I'll be Moses." And he said that would make me Pharaoh. And I said, Oh, okay, sure, yeah. I'm Moses, you're Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, "Wait a minute, that didn't end so well for Pharaoh." And I just said, I'm not here to threaten you. Let God's people build. Let God's people build. But I'll tell you what, God's Word is a comfort to me, but it's not a comfort to those who are in opposition to God Himself. The water is powerful. It is amazing. It is extraordinary. And what is that? That is God's Word. And in God's Word, we see demonstrations of God's power and God's love. Do you identify with God and the power of God and the Word of God, or do you identify in some other way? I mean, we live in a world that says, how do you identify? Well, I identify with God's power. I want to identify with God's Word. I want to be known as a preacher of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 10 points us to the water, points us to the rock that followed them. But despite having water from the rock, 1 Corinthians 10, in spite of having manna from heaven, in spite of having the meat that God provided for them, they just complained. Now, I would like to not ask you this question, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Did you complain at all this week about anything? Traffic, the line, the phone service, the weather, the lack of weather, the snow, the lack of snow, the rain, the lack of rain, the light not changing fast enough, the line at McDonald's. I'm just saying, we have a tendency to complain a lot. And it is within the context of murmuring that God says to the church at Corinth, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. Because these folks murmured about God's goodness and God's blessing, what God had provided for them. And in one day, a whole bunch of people fell. Despite the blessings, despite the spiritual privilege, despite the water from the rock, in spite of the water that we have access to, the Old Testament, they did not have access to this book like we do. I say the vast majority of you in the room today have this book in printed form, bound form. You brought it with you this morning. Many of you have a telephone with the Bible on it. You have an iPad with the Bible on it. You have a computer that has the Bible on it. They did not have that, but we do. We have the water. It is readily available. Water from the rock. Who's the rock? The rock is Christ. We have that ability, but we don't go drink and then we complain that we're thirsty. We don't have guidance and we complain that there's no water. There's lots of water. The water's there. But we have a tendency to complain, moan. And we say, by doing that, that'll never happen to me. It is called, there's actually a name for that. It's called optimism bias. Optimism bias. I'll teach you something, a new medical term. That won't happen to me. And so we say that in a variety of different ways. Say, it won't happen to me. Or we say, when pigs fly. Or we'll say, fat chance. Fat chance. What are we saying? That's not going to happen to me. Not in a million years. Over my dead body. That's never a good thing. Don't hold your breath. Till the cows come home, till the world ends, till the sun rises in the west, when the moon turns to cheese, the seas run dry or water runs uphill. We have a tendency to say, I know that God did those things in the Old Testament, but God's not going to do those things. God destroyed the children of Israel in the Old Testament for murmuring and complaining, but God's not going to destroy me. And God says, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. We have a tendency to be short-sighted when it comes to sinful pleasure. And they sought, 1 Corinthians 10 is talking about that, they sought sinful pleasures rather than the smile of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The result of that was, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Verse 6, they lusted after evil things. Verse 7, they rose up to play. Verse 8, they committed fornication. Verse 9, they tempted Christ. Verse 10, they murmur. But we think it's 2024, and God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is just going to tolerate that from us. But I'll just say God was not well pleased. Now again, this is written in context to the church at Corinth, and they were engaging in all of these things. It's not coincidental that God is having Paul address these things in chapter 10 to them. Why? Because the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth, which is the people of the church. We're not talking about the outside. We're talking about people who have named Christ. They're in the church, and Paul is bringing this message to them. And he says, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. Why does he say that? Because in the church, they had ignored God's word. This church. They ignored God's word. There were people that were lusting after evil things. There were people that were engaged in idolatry. Verse 8, there were people that were committing fornication. There were people that were tempting Christ. There were people that were murmuring. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. The temptations you're facing are common to man. What does Satan want you to do? He wants you to think, Rick, that you're the only one that has this temptation. You're the only one that struggles with that, and nobody else does, but it's common to man. Common to man. We would like to think, again, that the temptations we struggle with, the preacher doesn't, but I'm telling you, it's common to man. And I need God's help to be able to resist temptation. I need that. I must have God's help. So I'm going back to my conversation this week. We struggle. You struggle. We're fighting demonic forces in the church. And not a whole lot has changed from 1 Corinthians till now. From the Old Testament passage to now, those temptations are still there. They had, in Corinth, they had pagan temples. They had folks that were stumbling blocks for weaker brethren. They lusted again after evil things. They could have, but they chose not to say no to fleshly desires. This is interesting. This came in my email yesterday. This is from Pastor Rick Connor of Patuxent Baptist Church. Mark, are you paying attention up there? Okay. Just checking. Got to check on the sound guy. So they're hosting a meeting for men put on by Brother Ryan Swanson, who is a youth pastor at Fellowship Baptist Church in Taylor, South Carolina. And he and his wife, Stephanie, have come up with an app. It's called The Cord, an app to help battle lustful addictions. Now they're hosting a conference for men. I thought that was interesting. I thought I'd give that a shout out on Zoom this morning. And so, fellas, if you're interested, Patuxent Baptist Church would like to invite you on Saturday, November 23rd, from 12 to 3 p.m. There is no cost. The information to sign is up here. What am I just saying? There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. So here's a church over in Patuxent that says, hey, we've got fellows that are lusting after evil things, and we need to address that. Well, hey, so here we are. Thank you. Hey, I'm here in Lighthouse Baptist Church, but I'm the only one that struggles with that. You're not. It's a worldwide thing. And listen, it's not just men. This conference just happens to be for men. But do women lust after evil things as well? They do. God will give you the power to do that. What we need to do is take heed, take inventory, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. Here we are in Fairfax County. There is not a... Tom, are you listening? There is not a day goes by in Fairfax County that some young man or some young lady, Colleen, are getting in trouble with their phones. I don't know, probably three or four a day. that are serious enough that they show up on the police blotter. Just that's our jurisdiction. That's right here. That's right where we live. Why? There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And it's common in the world and it's common in the church. But God says to us as a church body that, and we're looking to the Word, that we should take heed while we stand lest we fall. I do not want to see you on the police blotter. I do not want to see your name there. So what does God say? Take heed while ye stand lest ye fall. I don't want my name, Pastor Lighthouse Baptist Church, on the police blotter. So God says to me, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. I don't want to see the names of a choir member on the police blotter. And God says, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. Satan wants you to dismiss that temptation. Oh, you're the only one. Oh, nobody has got a problem. Oh, it's not a big deal. And God says, these are big deals. This is something that needs to be dealt with. This is something you should pay attention to. Just don't dismiss it. What did they fail to do? They had failed to keep their eyes on God. It's easy to drift. I speak up here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, often in Sunday school, and I look around the room. Oh, for years, I've looked around the room. And I'll tell you, I just know that sometimes you turn me off. I get that. I say, preacher, how can you tell that? When you're sitting down and you're doing this, I know that you are totally out. Mr. Mr. President, Mr. President would sit right here in the front row, and he would sit here on Sunday morning, and he'd have his Bible, and all of a sudden I'd look down, and he was like, and every once in a while he would snore, and then I would see his Bible start to turn down, and I knew that it was about to drop on the floor. It's going to disrupt the whole service. So I would walk down out of the pulpit. I would put my hand on his shoulder, and I would pat his shoulder a couple of times to wake him up. So I know that you drift sometimes. That sometimes I'm looking out there, and I say something funny, and you're like, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're at the beach. I don't know if you're in Hawaii. I don't know if you're at the ice cream shop. But in your mind, you're somewhere totally out. I get that. I get that. It's common to man. God is faithful. He'll help you. Pay attention not to miss it, not to end up on the police blotter if you let him. And he says, pay attention. Take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. Everybody's got that temptation. I was speaking to a group of college kids this week, Thursday night, my college class, and I said to them, I know you're tired. They're taking a class with me. It's 10 o'clock at night, and they're having to pay attention. And they work. I said, listen, I get it. I went to college. In November, harvest time, I was a full-time student. We were working 80 hours a week. And in September, it was slow. And so I had to plan to get my papers done in September, because in November, it wasn't happening. And I know that after you've worked 80 hours and you're standing up in a class and they're talking about the Bible, that you just want to sleep. You want to sleep. So I spent the majority of my college time in October and November standing up at the back of class so I could stay awake. It's just easy to sit down and say, Sunday morning, 9:18, and I'm going to get a 10-minute cat nap while the preacher finishes up. You can't sleep at night, but you can sleep in church. Isn't that amazing? It's common to man. You're not the only one that struggles with that. And God says, take heed, fight it, resist it, because God's got something for you from His Word. Everybody does. Marie Antoinette, you know that one. She came from privilege. She was an amazing person. She had amazing. She was at one time known as 1775. She was known as the most eligible gal in the world. She was the Archduchess of Austria, the most eligible lady of Europe, was what she was quoted as. And along came French President King Louis XVI. And they decided that she was going to live a lavish lifestyle. And she did, in splendor, in the Palace of Versailles. While people around were starving, she flaunted her lavishness. And there was a revolution in 1789, and they took her, and this beautiful lady, most eligible lady in the whole world, and they put her in the guillotine, and they lopped her head off. She was 32 years old. What did she fail to do? She failed to take heed while she stood, and she fell. And the world is full of those kinds of examples. They stumbled. In 1 Corinthians 10, this church, these people, these Christians, they stumbled when they should have stood. And so Paul says, take heed. They forgot, and they thought that they could never commit the wicked sins of other people. I would never do that. And Paul says, take heed. Take heed. When you get up in the morning and you say, well, I can't believe that that person murdered somebody, I would never do that. I can't believe they cheated on their wife, I would never do that. You're in danger, and Paul says, take heed. I was walking through a police station where I serve as chaplain probably 2 weeks ago. Someone had committed suicide. And in the outgoing shift, the day shift, was sitting in the report room, and I was heading towards the roll call room, and one of the guys said, hey, Chappie, we got a question for you. And one of the younger guys said, no, Chappie, we don't have a question for you. Keep on going. And so I walked out, and the loudmouth cop said, oh, no, come back here, Chappie, we got a question for you. So I stepped back into the room, and the young guy said, no, you really should leave. And so I stepped back out of the room. And the loudmouth cop said, oh, no, come back in here. Come back in here. I've had an epiphany. So I stepped back into the room, and I said, what's going on, guys? And he said, we had a brutal suicide that day. And he said, the loudmouth cop, we're better off that people that are thinking about suicide kill themselves, so that's one less people to kill themselves. And when all the people that think about killing themselves kill themselves, then we won't have any more suicide. So we're just better if all the people that are going to kill themselves right now so we can get this over with so we don't have to deal with it anymore. And the young guy said, I told you not to come back into the room. You know what he was suffering from? You know what you're suffering from? You think that you could never commit suicide. But I can tell you that I have preached a funeral of police officers who have taken their own life. He just did not think that he would ever be one of those. You have no idea. My Bible says there is no temptation taken them but such as is common to me. And I need God's help. God says, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. They forgot that sin and every temptation is common to man. And it is common to think that you don't suffer from those things. I would never do that. And God says, take heed. Take heed. I would never do that. And God says, take heed. I can't believe that. And God says, take heed. And the kids at school do something crazy that puts them on the police blotter. The tendency is to say, oh, I would never do such a thing. And God says, take heed.
They neglected to focus on the one, Jesus Christ, who could help them have victory. God says, take heed. They failed to avail themselves the way of escape. And there is a way. Because they failed to take heed when God said, take heed. The USS Wahoo was an extraordinary ship in World War II. One of the most productive fighting machines of World War II. They were on their seventh patrol. And every time they came back in from a patrol, because they had a mechanical problem, they ran out of torpedoes, they were running out of food and fuel, and they needed to resupply. They were getting the job done. They were on their seventh patrol. They were in the sea of Japan, and they had a ship in their sights. They were on their way back. They had a problem with the Mark 18 torpedo. Some of them would detonate, some of them wouldn't. And so they had this ship, and so they would always send three or four torpedoes out to a ship because there were a lot of duds. And so they had this ship in their sights. They went up, as they were routine to do. They had a good plan of attack. And they had a good avenue of escape. And the captain said, any time now. And the executive, the XO, put up the periscope, and he gave the bearing, and he said, fire. And the captain pushed a button, and immediately there was a whoosh, and then he fired the second one, the third one, and the fourth one, and the XO is looking out the periscope, and the crew was quiet because they're waiting for a response. And the response from the XO they're waiting for is hot, straight, and normal. Hot, straight, and normal. Why? Because those torpedoes were known not always to be hot, straight, and normal. And instead of hearing hot, straight, and normal, they heard, emergency, all back full! And one of the torpedoes, instead of going towards the enemy ship, was going in circles. And the circle was getting wider, and it was coming right towards them. And they were hit by their own torpedo. Common to man. Had a good way of escape. They were able to get to the surface. But because of the damage, they couldn't dive. They're in dangerous waters. So they started back to safety. They got the welders on top, welding a plate around the hole that is in the ship so that they can dive. And on land, they failed to see a battery, enemy battery. And the enemy started lofting shots at them. But long before they lofted the first shot, they had radioed in and said, we have a submarine in the harbor on the surface. And the enemy planes came and started dropping bombs. They managed to get below the surface, but they had already identified where they already were. Japanese dropped 63 bombs, 63 depth charges and other bombs on them to try to destroy them. And we never heard from the Wahoo again. What was left? Oil slick, 60 meters wide, 3 miles long. Japanese reported not only oil slick, we know this from their war records, they reported bubbles coming up from below. As the Wahoo went down to the deep. You don't want that to be the story of your life. That you got destroyed by something that you held in your hand. A phone, internet, computer, pen, automobile, alcoholic beverage, and lots of things we hold in our hand that are going to destroy us. And God says, take heed while ye stand, lest ye fall. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No temptation taken, but such as is common to man. You say, preacher, I'm here this morning. I'm facing a temptation. I need God. I need God's help. I need your prayer. Preacher, would you say a prayer for help for me today? And I will. I will. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Just say you are not alone. I will pray for you. Here's what I ask. I ask you to pray for me. For the temptations you face, I face. And the help you need from God, I need from God. And you want the preacher to pray for you, and you need the preacher to pray for you, and the preacher will pray for you, but the preacher needs you to pray for him. Because I don't want to be the next tragic story. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for Christians that are facing a battle, a struggle, a temptation, a longing, a desire, something that they're doing that is foolish, whether it's speeding in their car or going down the road or a place where they're visiting or a TV program that they're watching that is not helpful, it is hurtful and is going to destroy them. They're going to dark places on the internet that they should not go. And Father, I pray that you'd give them help and that they would know that there is hope, that there is no temptation taken them but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and that you'll help them find a way of escape. Father, help them to do that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I think eternity's coming. Just not coming for me. But this morning, God has spoken to my heart. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Will you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Hold it up for just a moment. If you're able to stand, the piano is playing, the altar is open, you want the preacher to pray for you in person, I'll be delighted to do that. You obey as God speaks this morning. Take heed. Take heed.